This episode of the Texas Beer Experience Podcast is brought to you by Galveston Island Brewing. Visit Galveston Island Brewing at their taproom on Galveston Island or online at www.galvestonislandbrewing.com. Grab yourself a cold beer and get ready to enjoy the official beer podcast of the state of Texas. Welcome to the Texas Beer Experience Podcast, dedicated to all the great things about Texas craft beer. And I am your host, Leo Longoria. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Texas Beer Experience. This is episode 24. We're back at Star Sailor. Tonight, it's the final night for the Tank 7 Burger Challenge. And Chef David Flores is here tonight. And he may be able to join us later to talk about his Tank 7 burger recipe. And the noise in the background you hear is a PTA meeting that just got out down the street, and they're all in here now. And the line is long to get drinks right now. So we're actually kind of waiting, hoping to get a beer before we started. But I figured, you know what, we're going to be here for a minute. We'll record a segment, and then hopefully this line dies down and we'll go in and grab a beer. So we're joined by a special guest today. We're joined by Scott Ganisho with Boulevard Brewing Company, makers of Tank 7. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me, Leo.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being here, man. So, you know, Scott and I, we've known each other for several years, but this is probably the most that we've ever talked to each other. Because it seems like every time we run into each other, it's like I'm coming and you're going.
Yes, it seems that way. It's always, we're in the same circles. We know the same people. And we're always two ships passing in the night.
Yeah. So it's good to finally be able to like sit down and actually get to know you better.
Right, yeah.
And we've been sitting here for a few minutes already, and Scott has shared some good stuff. About working at Boulevard, and we also talked about my hatred for saisons.
And that's true.
And I think I've decided, Scott, that tonight's the night that I'm going to try Tank 7 again.
Okay. When's the last time you had it again?
Oh man, it at least 8 years.
Wow, it was in Bombers back in those days.
Yes. So it's not in Bombers anymore.
No, it hasn't been in Bombers in Houston. It hasn't been in Bombers since 2014.
Man.
I'm sorry, 2015.
So does it come in like the four pack?
Yeah, we went from the Bombers to the four pack. It seemed to be the consumer preferred package. And then in 2018, we moved it from four packs to six packs, and everyone just loved that. So then we decided 2 years ago to come out with a 16 ounce four pack can, so you can actually shotgun it.
Ooh.
If you so choose. Not saying that you should. It is an 8.5% American Saison. It's dry hopped. It will punch you in the face.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Scott.
I should have brought a can tempt you with a great time.
You know, that's a... If there's a way for me to, like, get back into... Or not get back into, but, like, try and enjoy a Saison, it might have to be through a shotgun.
Through a blast. Yeah. Blast of hops and Saison yeast to the face. It's... So highly recommend.
Okay, so I'm going to try this tonight, and we'll probably, segment two, we'll probably record the reaction to me drinking a Saison again. Now, we did discuss earlier that I do like bread Saisons.
Right.
Yeah, I do enjoy a nice soured Saison, so that's awesome. And look, my phone's vibrating right underneath the mic. That's amazing.
Well, the interesting thing about Saison Brett, which I brought tonight, not for us to share, unfortunately, I pulled that one out of my cellar as a prize tonight. Saison Brett is actually Tank 7 with Brettanomyces, and Saison Brett was the first beer to happen, and Tank 7 actually happened afterwards.
Oh, wow.
So this is a cool story I'll tell real quick, so wait for the line to die down, and then you can get the Tank 7 in and have it. So the story of Tank 7, it was literally in the seventh tank. We were brewing Saison Brett, and the glycol jacket for that tank was kind of acting up a little bit. And so they couldn't get the temperature to be what it needed to be in order to pitch the Brettanomyces into that tank. So the brewers kept pulling from it, and like just really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And everyone would, you know, the brewmaster would go over there, Mr. Stephen Powell would walk over and say, hey, what are you guys drinking? And they're like, we're drinking Tank 7. And they released it as a special beer at a festival in Kansas. But they tried to call it, I'm not even making this up, the Poet of the Plains was the original name for Tank 7. And the good thing about that story, I guess the coolest thing about that story, is one of the only times that I've ever heard of a marketing department trying to come up with a name like that, and the brewers coming into the office saying, no, there is no way we're gonna sell this beer as anything other than Tank 7. So Tank 7 was named after the tank that was had a faulty glycol jacket.
And that was Tank 7.
And that
literally.
Was Tank 7. That was literally Tank 7.
Wow.
Now, if you go to the brewery and get a tour, you'll see a Tank 7, a tank that is numbered 7, right? But it is not, in fact, the Tank 7. If you wanted to see the actual Tank 7, you have to go to Fort Worth to RAR. That's where it is right now. We sold it to those guys afterwards thinking, ha-ha, the glycol jacket, good luck.
Joke's on you.
But, of course, they've been putting out some great stuff. So,
they have, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the story about Tank 7, and I'm glad it's not Poet of the Plains. Jeez, you know how hard it would be to sell that.
Poet of the Plains.
Poet of the Plains.
Marketers sometimes, they go crazy with their names, right?
Yes. I also represent Omegang, and we have had our fair share of very eloquent names. Like, one of my favorites is the Lovely Dark and Deep. Just can't say that without giggling a little bit.
Yep. I've actually never heard that one.
Yeah, we brought that to Texas in, I believe, about 2014, 2015.
Okay.
It was a one-off seasonal from Omegang in a bomber format. And then we had some other ones that that have some great names that just that don't translate, I think, when you... Nomagang, Nomageddon, you know, things like that, where people are like, what does that even mean?
And Omegang, they made the, what's it called, the Game of Thrones beers,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we right. did the Game of Thrones beers for a very long time. We finally ended that, I believe it was 2019. But there was several beers that we put out. Jeez, I feel like it was like 20 beers. I came in 2017, so I missed a good bit of them. But they were all excellent. Great renditions and also a good homage to the show itself. So
definitely, and I had a few of those.
The Black IPA was the best.
I know I've had the Three Philosophers.
Oh yes, of course.
In the past. That's a great quad. So I'm curious about the names because now you got me going. So here's the Game of Thrones beer. So I just opened up Untappd.
Sure.
So there's Take the Black.
Yes. I believe that's the Black IPA. That one I really enjoyed. I'm pretty sure it's a Black IPA. It might be the Black Raven.
It says here it's a Foreign Expert Stout.
Okay.
The Three-Eyed Raven is a Saison. Valar Morghulis is a Belgian Double. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
There was a Double Wit with White Pepper. I think it was Winter's Here. They all kind of blend together for me after a while because there were so many of them. At one point, we did four in a year, and it was one for each of the main characters. We had the English style barley wine for Tyrion. The one that was my favorite was the Mother of Dragons, which was a smoked porter with cherry added to it. That was really nice.
There it is, Mother of Dragons.
Mother of Dragons,
smoked
yes.
Porter.
Yeah.
Man. I missed out on some of those. That's a damn shame.
I thought it was pretty clever that they did one for Cersei, and it was a sour blonde.
Like, that's a perfect
well played, Oma Gang.
Perfect beer for Cersei. Yeah, awesome, man. Hey, so like I said, I don't really know a lot about you, Scott. I know you've worked for.
Know about me?
Yeah. So okay. Like you've worked with Boulevard for a few years now, and Oma Gang and Duval and.
Yep.
You were with somebody else prior to Boulevard.
That's right, yeah. So I've been with Boulevard now since 2017.
Right.
Boulevard/Omegang/Duval and several other imports. Before that, I spent 4 years locally at Buffalo Bayou. I was operations manager for Buffalo Bayou. It was one of the original sales reps in the Heights, in the downtown area. And also Clear Lake, where I can hang out with Channing from Novi.
Shout out to Channing. He was episode 12, I believe.
I miss that man.
Yeah. That's a good dude right there.
Absolutely. I knew Channing going back even further than that. Yeah. I was a merchandiser at Silver Eagle.
Were you really?
Okay. I was. Back in 2011, I was. That was right when I was getting into beer. That was my first job with beer, actually. It was a merchandiser. And they put me in Pasadena, like really in the heart of it. A lot of Spanish speaking, which I don't speak any of. And then they moved me around. I actually came up to the Heights and became the sales rep for Kroger 312. And I did that for a couple of months before I got in with Buffalo Bayou.
Oh, wow.
And I stayed there for about 4 years and just developed relationships with the craft beer scene and really just kind of dove into it. Just dove into it head first.
That's awesome, man. So what would you say was your inspirational moment that you knew you wanted to work in beer? Or did it just feel like just a natural progression into, like, this is what I want to do?
Well, I can tell you that working at Silver Eagle, I got into beer just to be in beer, right? And it wasn't just craft beer. At that time, I didn't even really know what craft beer was.
Okay.
And I'm merchandising. I'm putting all these things on the shelf at HEB 473 was one of my stores off of...
Fairmont Park. That's right.
Yeah, so I was merchandising, and I'm like, what are these beers that I keep stocking? I don't know what these are. And I started just bringing them home and trying them. I'll never forget, I tried Hopadillo, and I didn't like it. It's my first IPA. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I tried Sympathy for the Lager, and I said, okay, I can get down on this. Mm-hmm. This is good stuff.
Man, I remember Sympathy for the Lager.
Was a damn good beer.
Yeah.
It's a shame that it's not around anymore, but it was a really good beer. I went back to Hopadillo, and it grew on me. And then I started trying everything that I could get my hands on, and just more and more and more. And then the moment I think that I was like, I want to do this. I want to get into craft beer. I want to sell it. I want to work for a brewery one day. I was sitting at Novi, and I was drinking Alaskan White.
Okay.
And to this day, I absolutely love that beer. It's a very well-made beer.
It is.
And it's so easy to drink, and I keep it in my refrigerator. It's one of my mainstays. And I looked at Channing, and Channing, if he's listening, definitely laugh when I say this. I wanted to get into craft beer, sell it, but I also wanted to, like, evangelize. I remember, like, you get into that, you're like, let me tell you what an IBU is. Everybody went through that phase. I'm going to tell you what the hops are and what lupulin is. And I wanted to teach people and evangelize craft beer. And I wanted to write a blog. And I sent Channing the draft on that. Hopefully he erased that from his computer.
But you know, I'm hoping that he didn't.
What's that?
I hope he didn't.
Oh, God. No, he told me that he didn't, and then he sent, like, a teaser to my wife, Heather, like a snip of it. And I was like, you bastard. You said you deleted it. I've gone so far from there. But it was still pretty cool to kind of think back. And Novi has a special place for me, always.
Same here.
I grew up in craft beer at that bar, trying everything and picking Channing's brain about every beer. I mean, you get to that excitement phase where you want to try every single thing that you see. And then Untappd also kind of, the app just kind of promotes it even further. You're just wanting to, like, ooh, what is this s'more stout? That's really interesting. So for me, the best place to land was Buffalo Bayou, because they come out with a different beer, like, every damn week.
They sure did, right? Yeah, yeah.
So I was always constantly learning. And the beer that I fell in love with at Buffalo Bayou was Buffalo Sunset back in the day in 2013 when I started with them. It was a black IPA with coffee roasted at Catalina. And the combination of those two flavors really, really spoke to me. Mm. And I gained 35 pounds on that beer alone. With a little bit of smoke on the bayou as well. But yeah, those two beers single-handedly got me to a place where I am now and can't seem to get back from.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I appreciate
it. We're almost 35 pounds, man.
I gained a lot, and I gained it fast. By the end of the year of 2013, I was like, cheers.
Well, Scott, like I said, appreciate you coming on the show today. We're going to take a quick break because I think the line has gone down. It looks like everybody has drinks in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go grab some more beer. So stay tuned for segment two with Scott Gannis Show.
Sure.
Cheers.
Let's do it.
Have you visited Galveston Island Brewing? Take a trip to the island and experience the laid-back atmosphere and award-winning craft beer like Tiki Wheat, Citra Mellow IPA, and Hefene Hefeweizen. Enjoy the cozy taproom or the island-style beer garden and patio with plenty of shade and a playground for the kids. Be sure to check out the online calendar for live music and food truck schedules, and come by on Saturday for the free weekly brewery tour at 1 p.m. So gather your friends and join Galveston Island Brewing for some fun in the sun. follow the Texas Beer Experience blog and podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Did you miss an episode? All episodes are available on all the major podcast platforms and even some of the not-so-major ones. And now, back to the Texas Beer Experience podcast.
We're all very connected, too. That's the one thing I think, going back to what we were talking about before, how it kind of drew me to craft beer was the brotherly, sisterly kind of thing.
Yeah, the camaraderie is fantastic, man. Like, yeah, that's what drew me in, too, because I've been drinking craft beer since about 2000, and it was 14, 13, when we went to Big Bend, right? Somewhere around there, 2013, 14, where I was like, I want to work in beer. Yeah, we went to Big Bend Brewing Company, and I met Steve Anderson, was like a beer legend. He was one of the first brewers at Live Oak. I was just inspired that day. So
did they do the Renaissance Cowboy? Was that them? Or was that a different one I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, and all of my very close friends, we all work at different breweries. My wedding, we had a surplus of beer, that's for sure. Everybody brought beer from their breweries, so I had 17 different options, including Duvel. I had Duvel. No glasses.
No glasses.
You drinking Duvel out the bottle today. It was very nice, but you know, at that time, my best friend Thomas, who works at Bell's now, was working at No Label. One of my other best friends, Mark Caroga, who is now in Malta, Italy.
Yeah.
He was working still for Buffalo Bayou. One of my other good friends, Aaron Bosley, worked at New Belgium.
We all know really good people, man.
Right.
Like Aaron Bosley. And I'm just going to, we're recording and we're just going to keep going. This is a good conversation. Aaron Bosley, my first day as a beer rep, it was with Rennie Walker, the little brewery out in Richmond.
Oh, yeah, I remember those guys.
And I ran into Aaron at, what was it called, Brooklyn Kitchen or something like that?
Yeah, Brooklyn Athletic Club.
Brooklyn Athletic Club.
Over there off of Richmond.
Oh, yeah, over off of Richmond. He was there. He was with Buffalo Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And just the nicest guy. Just like, hey, man.
He's awesome.
Like, let me know how I can help you. This is who you talk to here. And I ran into Aaron a couple weeks ago at Little Woodrow's in Tomball. But he's now with New Belgium. Just recently got a promotion, which is huge, and just one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, and I think that's the moral of craft beer, the thing that ties it all together, is we're all willing to help each other.
Yeah.
We've always done that, for as long as I've been in it. And I actually, and I won't say any names, but I met somebody who came from another area of the country. I think it came from... Chicago, maybe.
Yeah.
And they came down here. I was like, oh, I'm gonna own this, and I'm gonna get super aggressive. I'm gonna be targeting taps, and I just was like,
good,
hey, man, we don't do that here. We work together. That's just how it goes. And if you're gonna do that, you're gonna put yourself on an island, and no one's gonna want to help you.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place. I'm happy to say that almost every person I know of in this beer industry in Houston and our scene, we all work together. To get things done, because the real enemy is the man.
That's right. Down with the man.
Down with the man. Down with that guy.
I do want to go back to the other two names you mentioned, Thomas Keel and Mark Caroga.
Yeah.
Those guys were, I worked at Specs, and that was kind of like my foot in the door job.
Okay, yeah.
And so I ran a small beer department, Specs 1 in Kingwood.
And, Specs 1, wow, yeah. I know that one.
And so Thomas was my first Buffalo Bayou rep. And then I think they moved him into production.
Yep.
And then Mark Caroga was my rep before I left. Both solid men.
Both
really
of them.
Good folks. I miss Mark, man. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Thomas, when I was trying to choose my best man for my wedding, it was really hard for me to tell Thomas that he wasn't going to be my best man.
Yeah.
And instead, I gave him a title that was even cooler, I think. I said, hey, I want you to marry me. And it was like a long pause, and Thomas, he said a joke at the time, which was totally befitting, and I can't do any justice to it because I don't remember what it was, but it was something along the lines of, you know, corny Thomas Keel joke.
Right.
Like, you want me to marry you, sir, but I'm already married. Something along those lines.
You do a really good Thomas Keel.
And I was like, okay, dude, I mean, I would love for you to join my wife and I, and he did. He got the certification, and he was very nervous about being up there in front of all those people, but he absolutely killed it.
Awesome.
And I was the first couple that he married, and then he's done a couple of them since. So, by the way, if you need an ordained minister, Mr. Thomas Keel, market manager by day, Father Thomas by night.
Father Thomas by night. I love that.
And, yeah, both Aaron Bosley and Mark Caroga stood in my wedding. And now Mark left craft beer. He's in oil and gas now. And he's out in Malta, Italy, as the kids say, living his best life.
Yeah.
He really is. And I am so jealous, but also very, very, very happy for him.
Good people.
R.I.P.,
that's,
buddy.
That's why I love beer, man. Like, and this is why I do the podcast. Because
right.
I'm obviously, beer is good. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. But it's the people in beer that don't really get to shine, so
yeah.
to speak. So this is why we do the show, Scott. So that being said, let's drink some beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's
so do it. We're doing this thing today. I know you've heard me say on this show many times that I don't care for saisons.
No, that's not what you said. I think you said you hate saisons.
I hate saisons.
I'm pretty sure you said that.
It's true.
Direct quote.
I'm trying not to make Scott feel bad, but it's true. I have said I hate saisons. And I have a Tank 7 in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to try this. And, you know...
Well, Lynn's already halfway through, so there's that.
She is, like, halfway through. As soon as this hit the table, she was on it. She's like, I love this beer.
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to pollute your palate. Go for it.
Okay, so I actually had, like, a plan. So I pulled up Tank 7 on Untappd, and I want to read the description. Okay, so it says it's a traditional Belgian-style farmhouse ale. The perfect combination of elements came together in their number 7 fermenter.
Mm.
Interesting. You could call it fate, but they called it Tank 7, and so it is. Beginning with a big surge of fruity aromatics and grapefruit hoppy notes, the flavor of this complex straw-colored ale tapers off to a peppery, dry finish. So that's a really nice description written by a great marketer.
Yeah.
It makes me want to try this beer now.
It makes me want to write haikus. It makes me want to really kind of figure out rhyme scheme.
Yeah, this no, I love the yeah, the you could
poetry
and
emotion
are
over
there.
Here.
You can get a little bit of the grapefruit. I get more other different kinds of fruit mm-hmm. in there, more than grapefruit. But anyway, let's try this out. Okay.
Man says okay.
Okay. Listen. I will say this. I don't hate this beer, but I'm still not a big fan.
Still not sold on it.
I'm still not sold on it. There's a local beer here that a lot of people love, and it's an IPA, and I've tried it so many different times. Because I want to like it, and I just can't.
Oh.
I think there's some. It's my palate or something.
It sounds like it's your palate. You don't like Tank 7.
It does not agree with
your palate.
It's yeah. No, let's chalk it up to my palate because
I don't trust your palate anymore.
I don't
even know what to say to you.
You can say that you hate me, Scott. That's fine.
No. That's not right. That's not fair. Tank 7 is a very interesting beer because although Tao said it is a saison, and it's interesting that they say it's a traditional saison, because traditional saisons typically are much lower in ABV. It's meant to kind of celebrate the season. That's kind of the thing behind it. And this is not only... It's a year-round beer. I mean, you can't really toast the season because, I mean, you're toasting it on a... What's today? Thursday?
Yeah. And this will be my last beer tonight. It's 8.5%.
Yeah, 8.5% too. So it's much higher, and it's dry hop. So we went from being a farmhouse saison. That's how we've called it since its inception. Until recently, we changed it to American saison because we felt that really kind of fit it better. than the farmhouse, because it really isn't farmhousey. I mean, you think farmhouse, it's kind of maybe grassy,
some earthy, yeah, funky, grassy notes. Yeah.
And that's not what it is. It's more bright. It's citrusy, like grapefruit. Yeah, grapefruit. I always think pink peppercorn towards the end there, because super fresh. Tank 7 has a very sharp pepper at the end.
Yeah.
But
maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to try the super fresh.
You got to try from the source, man. I got to get you at the Boulevard. I feel like you know a guy now. Now we're talking more than we've ever talked before.
I think I do know a guy.
You know a guy that can definitely get you in on a good tour. And the best thing about Tank 7 is that it pairs with literally any type of food. And I challenge anybody to that one.
I've had several sips of this now, and it's growing on me. And you just mentioned food. Like, it's almost like we're thinking the same thing. Because I'm thinking I want to have a little bit of cheese now.
Yep.
Right? Like maybe a brie or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to have to buy some brie at home and buy a 4-pack of this and try it with some brie and see how it goes.
I would recommend some brie, maybe some apricot jam, because a little bit of apricot jam, with that, it draws out a little bit more of the pepper at the end, but it brings out a little sweetness too. It's very interesting what this beer does when you pair it with things. Like if you do fried foods in particular, it just cleans your palate like you didn't eat it. It's very interesting. It goes really well with citrusy kind of salads or any kind of citrusy vinaigrettes of any kind. That wonderful picture I have on my Instagram, which now you can see, that is a lime ginger vinaigrette that I had made, more like a broth. It would pair extremely well with that.
Lime
extremely
ginger.
Well. Lime and ginger.
That sounds like an interesting combination.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You just made my mouth water, Scott.
Well, good.
That sounds good, man.
Heather told me that was the best meal that she's ever had. Now,
wow.
She's just being nice to me. That would be cool. She's not typically just nice for no reason. So.
Every time I haven't seen Heather in a long time, because she used to be in beer also.
Right, yeah.
And she's one of the nicest people. I remember the first time I met her was at Mongoose versus Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Aaron Bosley, you know, she came to me and she's like, hey, I'm with Southern Star. This is who you need to talk to in here. Just very helpful. Always very helpful. Super nice. Nice lady.
Yeah. We used to compete against each other, and I was the downtown Buffalo Bayou rep, and she was the downtown Southern Star rep.
Yeah.
And as soon as we started dating, the competition increased. My way of courting was to take tap handles and to bring her out to a nice dinner and drop the tap handle on the table and say, I thought you'd want to have this.
Scott, that's brilliant, man. Oh my God, that's so
funny.
The
competition was real back in the day, man. Competition's still there every now and then. We're competing over cooking now.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I think you're winning. You're probably, I mean, if you just made the best meal that she's ever had in her life, you've got to be winning. You've
got
to be
winning. I got no comment on that. She cooks extremely well. She really does. I'll never let her know that, but she cooks extremely well. And she adds competition to my life. And I think when you add competition like that, it makes you want to raise the bar all the time. So in that way, we balance each other because we're constantly challenging each other to be better.
I used to think I made really good chili.
Uh-oh.
And then she's made chili these last two times, and it's way better than mine.
Wow.
Way better. Yeah. So now I'm like, I gotta do something. I gotta do something.
I made a great chili last year, and Heather was like, I want to make the chili now. Okay. She's like, your chili was good, but I'm going to make it now. I said, okay.
There's never a bet.
Still waiting on that chili, Heather. Where's that chili at?
Is she going to hear this?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I addressed her directly. Heather Gannis Show.
So chili is something I always make year-round. It doesn't matter if it's winter or summer, whenever, right? I love chili. Same thing with, like, hot soups or whatever. I make, like, a corn and potato soup that everybody loves at the house. Yeah. I haven't made that in a little bit. We're kind of veering off the subject of beer here, but I think that's okay.
But do you put beer in your chili?
I do.
Uh-huh. Well, back to beer
we
go.
What's
the beer that you put in your chili?
Whatever's like, I usually like to put a lager or something easy. If I don't want to waste like a good beer, quote unquote good beer, I'll put a Lone Star Long Neck in there. Yeah.
I've always done like a Shinerbach or a Ziegenbach or something like that to get the malty flavor.
When I worked at Backview, I liked using Seder Swill.
Seder Swill is good.
It's a Bach that's just it's probably the best beer, my favorite beer from the brewery.
One time I did Hellfighter.
Oh, really?
That wasn't a good call. It was too much going on. The Rose character really kind of went in a different direction. But I mean, that was like 2015, you know, and I wasn't as practiced with cooking, so I think I might have done it wrong.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, like, this is going to be bomb as hell. No.
Hellfighter, man.
Hellfighter, yeah.
That's another one that I kind of miss. Yeah.
005 was the best, in my opinion.
I think, actually, if you're in my kitchen, the first cabinet that you look up, I have a bunch of bottles that have been like favorites over the years. I'm pretty sure that Hellfighter 005 is up there.
Yeah. You still have it open? I mean, not open?
No, it's open. They're just open bottles that I've had over the years that they're kind of like decorative, so to speak.
I did that for a bit too, and then I was like, what am I going to do with these bottles?
Yeah.
I have, you've never seen my house, but I have bottles that Thomas and I bought back when we first got into craft beer, and I still have so many of those. I mean, this is 2012, 2013. I've got a Dogfish Head 120 from 2012. I mean, I don't know if these things are good anymore at this point. But I have 003.
Oh wow, really?
005, 6, 7, 8. I'm like looking at them, I'm like, I need to drink these. I've got Gingerbread Stout from 2013.
I need to
do a bottle share. That's what I'm saying. I've got so many bottles, people. I need help drinking these guys.
So my new thing is that, and I'm trying to be regular about it, is I call it the Sunday Night Stout, because I have a ton of stouts in my beer fridge in the garage. And so this last week I've decided I need to start pulling stuff from the cellar and just drinking them. So I opened a 2015 Abyss aged in rye barrels.
Oh, man.
Man, it was so good, Scott.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
It was so, so good. And I don't know what this week's going to be, but I also have a Dogfish 120.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, we had somebody wanted to come and show the coloring to Scott. So there's a...
Yeah, there's a coloring contest happening right now.
I don't think we mentioned the coloring contest. So there's a Boulevard Tank 7 coloring contest going on tonight. So, yeah. If there's still
it ends at 9, though. I think it seems like they're trying to enter their entry right now.
They got like 50 minutes, so...
Yeah, there's a file.
Did you already put your entry in, Lynn? Oh. I think Lynn's going to win. I don't know. What do you think, Scott? Are you the judge?
I'm one of the judges.
You're one of the judges?
But I cannot be swayed. I cannot... Look, I don't know who made this. I just have to look at it as if I don't know who did it. Our liquid is not red, by the way. No. No, we actually have some beers that are red.
Just write Lynn on there somewhere, Lynn.
But yeah, I've got a lot of beers that I've collected over the years that you feel like with craft beer. That's the other thing I like about craft beer is that you get like attached to certain things. You're like, I remember when I had this for the first time. That's me. I remember the first time I had Same that
here.
Beer. I remember where and I bought this beer. I remember who I was with. I remember what I was thinking when I bought it.
Yeah.
There was a beer that was a collab between Three Floyds and Three Floyds and Brewdog. It was called Bitch Please. And I went to Rowdy's Number One off of Fairmont or Spencer Highway, like out in Pasadena, and they had like six of them. Thomas and I bought them all. There's like little 12-ounce bottles that were $20 a piece.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a barley wine that was whiskey barrel-aged. And it was amazing.
Ooh.
It was amazing. So I've got all these bottles. I've got Tokyo. I've got some cool stuff from Boulevard. that you can only get if you go to the brewery and buy it. Because, I mean, some of these, they call them Brewhouse Ones. They don't send that anywhere else. It only sells it at the brewery. And one of them is called Hold the Pancake. No, not Hold the Pancakes. That's a different beer. It's called Requiem for a Pancake. Requiem for a Pancake. Man, the people who name these beers, marketing people are insane. I can't even. But, yeah, Requiem for a Pancake. It is a brown ale that's been bourbon barrel-aged, and has maple in it, and whiskey barrel-aged. It's bananas. 12 ounces.
And it'll put you on the ground, I bet.
What's up?
And it'll put you on the ground, right?
I believe it's 15%. 15%. Yeah, it's not playing around. No. Yeah. Wow. And then there's another one. It's rye on rye on rye on rye. That's four ryes. So we have rye on rye, and that's great. And then we have rye on rye on rye. And then there's rye on rye on rye on rye.
I love rye. More on the whiskey side, but I like rye beers too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of our most popular beers. We're actually going to be doing it year-round next year. I can say that because we're probably about to unveil that anyway.
Will it be in this market also?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Rye on rye in four packs.
Okay.
It's one of the ones that people really, really look for, and they tell me all the time. Like, the two beers I absolutely love from you guys, Saison Brett and Rye on Rye. And now we're about to do it year-round for the first time ever. But yeah, there was one, like I said, Brewhouse One, rye on rye on rye on rye, four ryes. I don't even know what to do with that. I'm going to try to drink it.
Scott, I know what to do. Drink it. That's
yeah,
it, right?
I know what to do. Let's do a bottle share because I'm going to need an ounce of that, and that's probably going to be the end of it. I think it's like 16% or something.
Oh, damn.
It's something absolutely bananas.
Like, oh, yeah, we'll have to do a bottle share. I need to share with you guys our...
Yeah.
So, Gelsdahl, we have a barrel-aged barley wine also that's just absolutely amazing. It's an English barley wine that's just really good.
Ooh, English barley wine's the best.
Yeah, so we'll definitely do a bottle share, and I'll bring some of that. It's good stuff.
Leo, what part of town do you live in? Houston's a big city.
I live in Kingwood.
Kingwood?
I live in Kingwood.
You're not that far away. I live in Spring.
Yeah, yeah.
I live by Thistle Draft Shop.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hang out at Thistle a lot?
I hang out at Thistle all the time. Yeah. Those guys, I have a tab devoted to just me.
Nice.
I go there and they're like, Boulevard's here. I got my tab. I know all the bartenders by name. They know me as Boulevard.
They know you as Boulevard.
They know me as Boulevard. I still don't have a name. This is something like a funny joke that we have, but know Jake very well. Jake's also a pickleball champion and a disc golf champion. So we play pickleball at my house. I have pickleball in my neighborhood. I live in Cypresswood area, by the way. If you're into that, we have that. We just kind of bring some guys over and we just play some pickleball and drink some beer.
I'm down to learning new games. I've never played pickleball.
It's fun.
It's the first time I've heard of it, so.
First time you've ever heard of it?
That's first time I've heard of it.
Yeah. You gotta play. You gotta play. I think you'll really enjoy it.
I know Kent Bray has been trying to get me to play disc golf for at least 5 years. I actually committed one day to going out and playing disc golf with him. It was me, Von Grimm, and Kent Bray, and it rained, and we ended up just hanging out. Back then it was...
You got a disc in the rain, man.
I didn't care, but Kent was like, no, we can't go in the rain. So we ended up just hanging out at Equal Parts. Back then it was still Sigma, and that was like one of the first times I went to Sigma. So it actually was a good thing, because Sigma makes for great beer, or Equal Parts makes for
beer. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love their new wallpaper they have, by the way. Very shining-ish. I saw,
the wallpaper, like in the bathrooms and stuff?
On to the bathrooms.
Yeah.
He goes by Jorge to some and goes by George for others. Specs downtown.
Specs? Oh, yeah.
And he takes some amazing photos. And he took a video and he put the theme song of The Shining. I'm a huge Shining fan.
Yeah.
George, if you're listening, man, you got me with that video. Got me in the
field. I gotta check that out.
It felt professionally done.
Is it on his Instagram page?
It's on his Instagram page.
I'll have to go find that.
It was well done. Freaked me out.
George, Jorge, whatever you want to call him, is one of the nicest guys I've ever made.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I don't see enough of Jorge, George.
I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but I think he corrected me one day because I was just calling him George. And he said it's Jorge.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, okay. So now I call him Jorge.
Okay. Well, he tells me George.
Really? Maybe he was mad that day or something. I don't know.
Well, I know another person who his name is Jaime, and he tells me to call him James. But everyone else calls him Jaime. Maybe it's just a me thing, Leo. Yeah, maybe
it might be.
Is your name actually Leo?
I mean, it's short for Leopoldo.
Leopoldo?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You did not hear that. If you heard that, you did not hear that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Don't ever call me Leopoldo.
I can imagine that wasn't fun. Imagine having my last name.
So it's I'm the third also.
Leopoldo the third?
The third. Yeah, my granddad and my dad.
Wow. Okay, well, that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, it is kind of cool to be the third. I'm glad I wasn't the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, like, why would you call me that? Like, why can't you? You could have just stuck with Leo.
Times were different. It wasn't as mean back then.
Oh, like, well, somebody once said, it sounds like you're, like, having a disease or something. It's like, thanks. I appreciate that.
That's, I don't know. Ganesho is up there as well, I would say. I would argue that people in Louisiana can't even say that name.
Ganesho?
Ganesho.
If it doesn't have an X at the end, they can't pronounce it. They would,
you
they
are
would,
damn
would
right there. It doesn't happen.
We had this conversation prior to recording.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that there's a small chain of restaurants in Texas, and I think there's a few outside of Texas. It's called Papado's. It's a Cajun inspired restaurant, and it's DEAUX. And so an aunt of mine told me one day that she loved going to this restaurant called Papa Duke's, and I didn't know what she was trying to say. And I was like, I've never heard of that. She's like, yeah, it's the same people that own the Papacito's places. And I was like, oh, Papa Doe. Yeah, it's the X is silent.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
We're not saying the same thing. Yeah.
But,
growing up in Louisiana, most of my life, New Orleans and then Baton Rouge, it was surprising to me that no one could say it.
That is surprising. And yeah. I didn't know you grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah. No, I was born in New Orleans.
Okay.
Stayed there till I was about 6 or 7. And then we moved to Baton Rouge, and I was there until I graduated high school. No accent whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, nor have I ever had an accent. My family, on the other hand, definitely. Very nasally. Carrollton.
Carahan.
Scott Henry. Like, a lot of that. I mean, it's...
It's almost Boston.
It very much is. I mean, when you are in that, my family in particular, I guess, you have a first and a middle name. There is no such thing as just a first name by itself. It's literally both.
Yeah.
So for me, it's Scott Henry. Like, that's just how it always was.
Scott Henry.
And nobody just called me Scott. I mean, that's a real thing.
So, like, when your mom was mad at you, would she say, Scott Henry Ganesho?
Nope.
No?
It was just Scott Henry.
It was just Scott Henry.
My grandmother only called me that. Like, there was no middle ground or any other name. It just was Scott Henry. And my great-grandmother, absolutely. It's kind of an interesting thing. Not even when they're mad at me. I was a good kid.
You're a good kid?
No, I wasn't. I was a mischievous little bastard, honestly. Really was. I was
you
really good.
You do kind of have like a sneaky look to you, Scott.
I am very sneaky, sir. John Turturro from Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, Mr. Deeds. Can I change your
size?
I am
very sneaky, sir.
That's me. I was sneaky. I got away with shit.
That character by John Turturro is one of the best ones.
He really is.
Like, he made that movie memorable. Like, I don't really remember anything else from that movie other than John Turturro saying, I am very sneaky, and him asking, can I change your socks for you, sir?
Yeah, because I like feet.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in, like, seemingly 20 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be back with one more segment with Scott Gannon Show. Cheers. What's the best way to enjoy beer? Well, after years of extensive research, I have discovered that the best way to enjoy beer is with good friends, and there may not be a better group of friends than the Texas Beer Collective Facebook group. If beer and friends sounds like a winning combination, come join the Texas Beer Collective, the official Facebook group of the Texas Beer Experience podcast. You can find us by doing a Facebook search for the group or by following the link in the show notes. Follow the Texas Beer Experience blog and podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Did you miss an episode? All episodes are available on all the major podcast platforms and even some of the not-so-major ones. And now, back to the Texas Beer Experience podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. Segment three, last segment of episode 24 here at Star Sailor. Once again, joined by Scott Ganeshow from Boulevard Brewing Company in Kansas City. And also, just joining us, jumping on the table right now, is David Flores. David's a good friend. I've known David for years. We both used to sell beer together. Not working for the same people, but yeah, just like Scott and I, you know, we're kind of counterparts, whatever. But David, when the pandemic happened, he found himself kind of looking, and he found food. And started like cooking at home, sharing pictures of stuff that he's making and making everybody really, really hungry. And then when Star Sailor opened, and I don't know how this actually happened, and you don't have to share the story today, but Maren brought you in to, you know, to be the chef here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of her friends reached out to me and said, hey, Maren's opening up this spot down the street from your house, and she's looking for somebody to cook in the kitchen. So, I mean, this is the first time that I've ever actually really cooked in the kitchen. I have no culinary experience whatsoever. Didn't go to school for this. I was a beer salesman.
Yeah.
That got laid off during the pandemic. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just started watching a lot of cooking videos at home with the free time. Started cooking at the house, and may or may not have did a couple of pop-ups through Instagram stories and made a little money to pay some bills, and now I'm here.
Wow, man, that's amazing. And it feels like you have almost, do you feel like you found your calling?
I feel like I have. I mean, it's great to see folks like y'all too, still daily. I mean, people come in here, try to sell beer left and right. And that's the thing that I really miss about being in the industry, is seeing my friends.
Yeah.
But the window time, I do not miss in that car.
No, I feel you.
That's probably the...
I feel you on that. Yeah.
But it takes something special to do what y'all do.
It takes something special to do what you're doing, man.
And what y'all are doing.
If you guys have not had the food here, the smash burger is unbelievably good.
It's pretty good.
I had it the first time. I had it the first time back in June, and they drew me in with the deal. So it was a burger and a Montucky for what was it, like $7? Something like that?
What were we doing? We were doing a Pride special.
The Pride special, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot how much it was.
It was the burger and something. It was less than $10.
Yeah, I think it may have been like $7.13, maybe.
It was so good. So good. And I wish I had had another one. And we're actually, before we leave tonight, we're actually going to take some home.
Got to do it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And so you did the Tank 7 burger.
Yes.
And so we spoke previously before we were recording, and I asked you, so do you put Tank 7 in the meat, or how does that work? Can you explain to us?
So Scott tasked us with creating an original burger that wasn't on the menu using 7 ingredients. Mine being Hispanic background, I wanted to do something kind of Hispanic influenced and kind of Southwestern little flair.
Yeah.
With the chorizo refritos and the fajita styled veggies on there with the smash patty. And of course our stellar sauce that's made here in house.
And who makes that sauce?
I do.
That's right.
You heard it here.
Dude, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to try it.
And then, to be kind of grouped in with Hay Merchant and Deacon Baldy and Thistle Draft Shop, who pumping out crazy delicious food all the time.
Oh, most definitely. And I hear that your burger's in the lead right now for the best Tank 7 burger.
That's what they're saying.
Okay. That's saying something, man. When you're going up against... I mean, Hay Merchant, I mean...
Yeah, that cease and desist burger. That's
the cease and desist burger.
The cease and desist burger, I mean, that's Chris Shepard. I mean, that's saying something, man. So that's awesome. And I've loved watching this story just unfold over these last 18 months. It's been really special to see that, man. I'm super proud of you.
Thank you.
So, last segment of the show, lately we've been doing two questions, and I usually prime the guests, but I didn't prime you.
Yeah,
so I apologize for that. They're not hard. They may be hard. I don't know. But so the first question is an easy one. So we're called Texas Beer Experience. So it's not just about Houston. Well, the show has mostly been about Houston, but we like going on road trips. So we've been to like Fredonia, Nacogdoches, and a few other places. So we decided we want to ask people what they feel is the essential thing that needs to happen on a road trip to make it an official road trip. And it could be anything. It could be a stop somewhere. It could be a song that you listen to, an experience that happens. It could be anything.
David's first.
David's first.
I mean, it has to be Bucky's. Bucky's is midway through.
Man, that's a good
every
one.
City. You can't use it.
You can't use that one.
It's that's
so
a common
true,
one.
Though.
Yeah. But it's true, though. I mean, everybody stops at Bucky's. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good one. And not being a Texan, as we've talked about a lot tonight, I still don't get it. But I also get
trust
that
me,
it's
found
a big
other
deal.
Spots that are a little bit better and a little less crowded. With equally as clean restrooms.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're supposed to have the best restrooms,
yeah.
Period. Like, nobody else even
so
cares.
There's one, the one out in Katy, the stalls have the green and red lights on them. So kind of like those HEB parking lots.
Oh, yeah.
That'll tell you if it's available or not. And I'm like, is that really necessary?
People don't lock the door. So I guess that helps.
I guess
that's
does.
Very important. You don't want to walk in on a man like that. It's very uncomfortable for everyone.
It is.
So I would say I travel around the state of Texas being a state manager. I go up to Dallas, which is about 3.5 hours from my house. I go out to Austin, which is about 3 hours from my house. And I go out to San Antonio a lot, which is about 4 hours from my house. It's a lot of drive time.
Yeah.
I like to do audiobooks. I'm not a podcast kind of guy.
Okay.
Thomas Keel, I've referenced many times, he's been trying to get me to do this podcast shit, and I'm like, dude, I ain't about that life. it's not even that I've tried it and I'm still not about it. I just haven't tried it. So sorry, Thomas. But I'm really big on audiobooks, but I'm very specific about my audiobooks.
Okay.
It has to be a movie that I've seen. So I did Shutter Island, which, by the way, is an amazing audiobook.
Is it really?
But I watched the movie. And then I do the audiobook, and then I watch the movie again. So The Shining became my favorite story of all time because I did the book.
Isn't the book so much better than the movie?
It's better than the Kubrick movie.
For sure.
And then you watch, so I watched the Stephen King movie, like the 3-part series.
Yeah.
And then I did the Kubrick version, and all of them should be appreciated separately for what they are. The Kubrick version, as much as it is not at all like the book, it's fucking incredible on its own right.
Yeah.
It brings a lot of terror. But that's what I do. I do a lot of audiobooks. And if I'm not doing that, I'm listening to Krongbin. Krongbin is my... Nope, everyone's nodding their head.
Yep.
Like,
no idea.
They're a Houston-based band, guys. Jesus. No, it's fine. It's like a funk fusion... band and Krongbin.
Krongbin, okay.
I spell
Spotify?
It
are they on Spotify?
Yeah, K-H-R-U-A-N-G.
Yeah, just
B-I-N.
Stop. I'm not going to remember
uh-huh.
that.
Sounds like it would be like a German death metal reggae band.
Yeah. Well, you're going to listen to it and you're going to be like, damn, that's jamming as hell. And they're a Houston-based band. But yeah, I listened to that on my way.
Krongbin, okay.
Krongbin.
Up to sell some beer.
I'll say it again. Krongbin. Krongbin. I tagged him in my post recently.
But I like the... So do you have like an Audible account? And you just,
I do have an Audible account, yeah. I did The Talented Mr. Ripley most recently, and also Catch Me If You Can. I wasn't much of a fan of those two, but The Shining was awesome.
Yeah.
Psycho was good. That's another one that I did recently. Those are the two. Those are the two that I did most recently.
Okay.
Getting ready for Halloween.
Very cool.
Scary, spooky stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that. I mean, tomorrow, October 1st is tomorrow, so yeah.
Yeah. My daughter's birthday is on Saturday.
My daughter has made masks for us during the pandemic, and so today I wore my Pennywise mask, and it says, you'll float too on it.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Somebody That's actually commented and liked it. It's like, oh, I love your mask. I was like, I know, isn't it cool?
I'll stop you there. You can't do that. You're going to terrorize everyone.
All right, so next question. This might be the harder one. If today was your last day on Earth, if you knew it was your last day on Earth, what's the beer you're drinking? The mood has changed dramatically.
Yeah, yeah, way to go that route. I'd like to think that I'm going to survive tonight.
Or is it you could drink multiples of that?
No. One beer. Just like, this one. Is it. Like, these are the final moments. I'm going to go out enjoying the beer that I want to have. What is it?
I'll throw a little praise towards Boulevard right now, because one of the first bigger barrel-aged beers that I had that I still talk about to this day is the Bourbon Barrel Quad with cherries in the big cork and cage bottle. It was just something great about that beer. And I wish I had a bottle of it up until probably about a year or so ago. I think it was like a 2014. And yeah, it drank great.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good choice. Good choice, Dave.
I think that's a great choice. If you ever want to have that iteration again, you may know somebody who has that particular bottle.
Okay.
We were talking about this earlier and how the excess of inventory I have on bottles that I really need to share with people who would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now that I know that, I'm going to have a huge bottle share in my house coming up. I've got to figure that out.
And then we can cook together.
And we can cook
together.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, I'm nervous about that. Oh, my goodness. My beer, man. So I have to stay within my portfolio on that one, because there's two beers that I have that I sell that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. That's my number one and my number two favorite beer of all time. Especially because, like we were talking about being a craft beer consumer and the things that I've had over the time, and I feel like I've had everything, but there's two beers that just really kind of stand out to me as something that I just connect to in a personal way. The first one is my number one. Well, maybe I should make it more suspenseful than that. My number two is Duvel.
Duvel, yeah.
Duvel, but very specifically on draft. Duvel on draft, to me, better than Duvel in a bottle. We have very limited places where you can do that. But Duvel on draft is like my number two for sure. I can drink that shit all day. And it's 8.5% too, and it does not play around. Yeah, I've had a lot of Duvel.
I get to have it on draft, and I know Flying Saucer has it on draft.
Yep.
Yeah.
Flying Saucer exclusively.
Yeah.
We'll have it on draft, and that's in the entire state of Texas. By the way, we make up 56% of the Duvel on draft volume for the country.
Holy wow. In
Texas, that is.
Awesome.
So we've done
that's
a lot
incredible.
Of great work. So, Asa, if you're listening, thank you, buddy. My number one is my favorite beer of all time, but also my favorite beer, well, I guess, my favorite beer in my portfolio, simultaneously my favorite beer of all time, and that is Le Chouf.
Le Chouf.
I've never had that beer.
I've never had that either.
Le Chouf.
I know, it's the one with the little guy on it.
Yeah, it has a little gnome on it. That's Marcel. I have a personal connection to it with hanging out with the original founder of Le Chouf in New Orleans, which is another one of my markets. I cover all of Louisiana. He came over for the Jazz Fest, which ironically he hates jazz, but he comes over for the Jazz Fest every 2 years. And hung out with him for a week, and he kind of explained the beer to me, that romanced it in a way that I just really kind of understand brewing from a different perspective. But also, I really enjoy the difference of that beer and the uniqueness, because what it is, it's a Belgian blonde with coriander.
Okay.
And that, I don't think anybody else is really doing that.
Not a Belgian blonde.
Yeah. And Chris used to tell me, I say used to tell me like he's gone. He's still alive. Chris told me that a good brewer makes one or two good beers, and that's the mark.
Yeah.
That's the mark of perfection. And he started brewing that beer in 1982, and that was their only beer until Duvel bought them in 2006. Uh-huh. And then they started coming out with the hop version. The very first Belgian IPA to ever come out, which is the Houblon Chouf, and then they come out with the Cherry Chouf and the Mix Chouf and all that stuff. But when you think about it, like, that's a long period of time to brew one beer. And you think about the humble beginnings of that one in particular. Like, when I'm drinking it, I get all the notes, but also that personal connection too. So for me, my number one, Le Chouf. If I were dying tonight, which I fucking better not be.
I hope not. No, please don't.
We're going to Dallas.
I got a long way to drive. We got to go to Dallas and celebrate together. Le Chouf. That's my jam.
Okay. And so now I want to go try that.
Yeah.
And then I could probably go pick that up Specs Downtown, I would imagine, right?
Yep. Specs Downtown is one of the only places you can find it. Total Wine is another place. There's a couple of HEBs here and there. It's a very hard beer to find, honestly. It's not very well known. But when you have it, and I guess now with my story, it'll probably give you a little bit of appreciation for the novelty of what it is. It's an amazingly well-crafted beer.
Okay.
1982 is when it came out and never changed again.
Wow. Lynn, do you want to try it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to pick up a bottle of this. For sure. For sure.
Now I'm going to task you with taking a picture and send it to me on Instagram.
I will do that.
And we'll see if you like that more than Tank 7.
You know, it's very likely that I will.
Judging from earlier, it's highly likely.
I'm just being honest. Hey, look, I drank a Tank 7 tonight, and I don't hate it as much as I used to. But, I mean, and at some point, I started thinking, I need to try this with food. And Scott and I were thinking the same thing. So we brought up cheese, having it with a nice brie. You brought up apricot jam.
I think Lynn wrote that down, actually.
She probably did. And I'm glad she did, because I'll probably forget that. But I'll have this beer again with those foods to get a better experience of it. And I'm going to take you up on the offer one day of having it fresh to get more
super
of that
fresh
peppery note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has a sharpness to it.
Yeah.
It has a very sharpness, a very sharp, like, not even a bite, but it's just like, boom, there it is. And we should do the side-by-side with the Saison Brett, too.
Oh,
so you can see what Brettanomyces does to the liquid.
Okay.
It's a very different beast.
Okay, I'm in.
And pair it with food.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me of that. Maybe it'll go, do you think it'll go good with a smash burger made here?
It goes really well with the Tank 7 burger, because when David and I were sitting down, he was like, oh, this is what I came up with. And I had it right then. And I was like, yes, sir.
Okay.
He nails it, because there's a little bit of the spice behind the burger, and it kind of it balances extremely well with the Tank 7 burger. I mean, I'm sorry, the Tank 7 beer.
Yeah.
So, do you want to talk more on that pairing?
No, I think you hit it on the head. Yeah, it does. It definitely complements the beer and the burger in different levels.
Yeah, there was the elements that he was bringing, the elements that I was bringing, to kind of, not that I brewed it, but there was elements that both of them marrying together there. And it was that little bit of that spice, a little bit of brightness there.
I don't normally drink beer whenever I eat food. But that beer is, it's not a beer. That's something different. You can.
It's not a Lone Star.
With it being so effervescent, it's not a Lone Star. But it's going to be a little similar to, I guess you could do like wine and food. Like, this is a special beer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show today. David, thanks for joining us here at the last minute.
Yeah, no problem. Scott, we were getting our asses handed to us a little while ago when y'all were recording.
And it got a little bit quieter in here, so that crowd moved outside.
Yeah,
the wine has set in. I think that they moved outside, which is great for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm over here stressing about the Astros. We need one more strike and they can clinch.
Oh, really? Are we at that point?
Up by one, guys. We're up by one.
Are we about to celebrate the division title right here?
I think we should stay on after hours.
I don't know. Presley's pitching, so you can never trust him.
Oh, man.
So it's two outs, though. We should probably stay on and kind of...
They just pulled a double play. They had runners at first and second.
There's a runner on third.
We're up by one. 3-2, bottom of the ninth.
This became a sports cast just two right outs.
Then. Two outs and a...
Runner on third, two outs. Down by one.
Presley sets for the pitch.
Yeah, right.
And here comes the offering.
In
the dirt.
It's a 3-2 pitch.
Brains account full.
Oh, my goodness.
I guarantee you people that are listening to this and I was like, fuck the Astros.
Yeah.
And they're banging on the trash cans.
Whatever you got to do to win.
They're rallying.
Jake's was really good for his 40th, but we didn't
Oh, man.
This guy's a pretty good hitter.
Is this a Rosarena?
No. Here it is right here.
Oh, Rosarena's at third?
Yeah.
Here's the pitch.
Okay, here we go. Come on.
Oh. Oh.
There we go. Throw. Bregman to first.
Got him. Got him.
Here's some champs. Back to the
it's
playoffs.
It's over. 3-2. Astros win it.
That's right. So we're gonna end it on a high note. Astros clinch. We'll see y'all in the playoffs.
Hell yeah.
Cheers,
y'all. Hey, Leo, thank you so much for having me, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll do this again sometime.
This has been a blast. So.
And also a bottle share.
Bottle share.
Oh, man.
And some cooking, apparently.
Yeah. Cooking, bottle shares, whole bunch of stuff coming down from this episode. Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks again. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.